Hey everyone, welcome back to High Tea Hoops.
High Tea Hoops.
Nice, we nailed it. This is Brian Beauchesne at the Duke of Hoops. And as always, we are joined by Skylar. What's up, Skylar? What's up, Duchess?
Hello, hello.
We have
ready to get into a lot of news.
We have a great show today. So
great
much
show.
Off season, and there's still so much news and very exciting. We have Byron Mullins on, supposed to be a 15-minute interview, turned into a 45-minute just hang session, which might not be British slang, but we just hung out with Byron for a long time. It was a great conversation. We'll get to that. But first, Skylar, we're going to start with NBA news. Do you want to break
basketball
this one?
Basketball news, not just NBA news.
Well, we're going to start with it. This is the basketball news segment. That's what we're going to start off with. But we're going to start with the NBA category of the segment. So, Skylar, break this one for us because I know you are a huge super fan of this person. What's the news?
Stan Van Gundy is your new head coach of the New Orleans Pelicans.
Thick Zion. Thick Stan Van Gundy. You love to see
the
these two together.
Kings.
The Thick Kings are reunited.
A thick duo.
I love this.
It's like a what's that game? NBA Jam.
Yes.
They're a duo. That's just Thick King duo.
Hey, people forget Stan Van Gundy was a hooper. And there's that video, viral video of him dribbling and doing a dribbling drill. And people are like, he's got some handles on him.
I've seen it so many times today on Twitter.
His like, was it a motorcycle photo or a bike, maybe like a bicycle photo with him and the team with his Detroit hat on? Yeah.
Honestly, is it a motorcycle that he's on?
I like to envision it as like as a bicycle, not a motorcycle.
Every time it pops up on my timeline and I just like kind of glance at it, I've never pulled it up and like examined it, but every time I glance at it, I think he has a walker.
Skylar.
It's like, I'm always confused by the picture.
Amazing photo. So Stan Van Gundy was the, obviously with your Detroit Pistons, Skylar, and that did not go very well.
No.
So do you have some hope with the Pelicans? No.
No.
Skylar, no, are you smart? Yes.
Yes.
So what do you think about this move? Is this a good fit? Is he bring some stability? What do you think about this move for the Pelicans?
Honestly, I feel like this is not what you would expect a Pistons fan to immediately think. I think this is a good fit. This makes sense to me.
Yeah.
I think that, you know, I was just reading, I'm like giggling to myself because I was just reading this like whole Twitter feud between, they're probably like bots. Like they were, who even knows who they were? Just like people talking about, is Stan Van Gundy good with young teams? Because they said that was like one of the main reasons that they hired him and that's like the reason that I immediately thought, okay, that's probably why he got hired and that's why this is a good fit. Because I thought about his time in Orlando and, you know, I've listened to J.J. Redick talk about this a lot. Like J.J., when he entered the league, he went to Orlando and there was like 1 year, maybe 2 years where he had a different coach and then Stan got hired. And JJ talks about like he just had a lot of issues when he first entered the league. Like he was kind of fucked up from all of the hate he got in college. Man, and that was like too much for him to handle. Yeah. For like an 18-year-old, like you don't know how to handle that kind of like worldwide hate. It's insane. And so Stan really helped him work through that stuff and work on his game. And so I thought about that and I thought about him with like a young Dwight Howard and how that's kind of similar to Zion. And, you know, he took that team to the finals in, what was that? 2009?
Yeah.
2008, 2009.
2009 against the Lakers.
With like a pretty young Dwight Howard.
Yeah.
So I think it makes sense. His Pistons tenure would dispute that whole argument because what you need to know about his time with the Pistons is that he was the president of basketball operations and the head coach, and so he was like drafting and he was the head coach, which is not typically how it goes. And so
And not successful.
I think he's just...
Doc Rivers did the same thing with the Clippers to start with, and it just it doesn't work. Those are two unique positions. Yeah.
And so I think that people were like, okay, look at all of the young guys he had in Detroit and how he like didn't really do anything with them, and like in some cases, like, I don't want to say fucked him up, but like they were expected to do much greater things than they did, and then Stan got a hold of them and it didn't go well. So like I think people have a bad taste left in their mouth in Detroit, but I honestly think he's just a really bad drafter. And so then he just got players who didn't really work that well. And so then it was like, all right, he's got these young guys who aren't working that well. And so it looks really bad, but I think he just really picked bad guys. I mean, we could have had Donovan Mitchell. We could have had Devin Booker. Who the fuck do we have? Luke Kennard? Like,
not great.
I think he's just a really bad drafter. And so the Pistons part looks really bad, but I don't know that it's fully Stan's fault. And he said that one of the reasons he's really excited to go to the Pelicans is that he will just be a coach. He doesn't have to draft.
Yeah.
So I think if he just, you know, focuses there, I think it'll, I honestly think it'll be a good fit. I think he will really help Zion.
Yeah. He took some shots with the Pistons, bringing in Blake Griffin, and he, you know, he took some flyers on people. It did not work out. My attitude is that the Pistons are a lost cause no matter who's coaching and managing them, so it doesn't really matter. Yeah.
And I don't even get my feelings hurt anymore. Like, it's... No.
That was a bad situation. Didn't work out. I'm excited for him to go in there. I think he'll add some stability. The mentoring of the younger players and then working with David Griffin, who's the GM, who I think is a really good GM that they just brought in, I think that it's going to be a really good duo. I'm just really sad that his Twitter might not be as spicy anymore. Like the spicy Stan Van Gundy tweets, and he may have to tone it down as a coach.
Yeah. I thought this was literally the first thing I thought about was his Twitter. And the reason, I think there's two reasons why we love his Twitter so much. And I think it's A, he just has time. Like, he is on Twitter nonstop picking fights and just has time to like argue with little fuckheads from, I don't know, the suburbs of Detroit, like, who just want to like be political, and I don't know. He just like will get into fights. He spends so much time. He has time. Stan is the definition of has time on Twitter. And also, he's just a fucking savage.
Yes. He just roasts people.
The things he would say about Ted Cruz, I loved it. And so I think those are the two things we're going to lose. He's not going to have as much time, and he's not going to be able to be as spicy. So I'm pretty upset. Also, well, I'm just going to miss him on broadcast. I really liked him on broadcast.
He was great on TV. Maybe Jeff Van Gundy will be hired too, and then we'll have no Van Gundys on TV, which will just be a travesty. But good move, Pelicans. We both approve of the move. Let's go on to the next big coaching move. Since our last podcast, which is Ty Lue is the new head coach of the LA Clippers. And Skylar, when Ty Lue was the coach of the Cavs, I had no idea what his strengths were or weaknesses, no gauge on it. I just assumed LeBron was the coach. And I'm kind of at a loss here. Like, I don't know if Ty Lue is a good coach or not. And I think this will be his real test.
Yeah. Honestly, I realized the same thing today. Was prepping for this, and I was like, okay, what did I think about? I was trying to think about what my immediate thought was when I heard this Ty Lue news, and I was like, thinking about Ty Lue, and I was like, I know nothing about him as a coach, actually.
No, same thing with Vogel. Like, I think when you have a team with LeBron, you are more of a people manager. You're in the background. Yeah, you're more of you're more of a veteran coach. Where Byron Mullins talks about this on our podcast, where at his different NBA teams he was on, the coaching style was very different. Doc was very different with the Clippers than OKC, than Charlotte, because the Clippers had veterans, so they didn't have to have a ton of practices. They didn't have to manage them every single step of the way. The players could step up and coach more. And we heard that with the Lakers this year with Vogel, where Rondo is in the film session adding in. LeBron's in the film session adding in and thinking about different strategies the team can take on. And Vogel's like, all right, that's a good point. Let's move on, and doesn't have that ego. So I'm not sure of the fit here, because it seems like the Clippers don't have that alpha dog. It's certainly not Kawhi in the locker room. He's definitely one on the court. But yeah. It seems like they might have brought him in to be that people manager to try to mend mm-hmm. things between this team, build the culture, and that might be his biggest strength here.
Yeah, I agree with you. I kind of feel about Ty Lue the way I feel about Doc with the Philadelphia job, which is I think that Ty Lue might be okay in this. I think Doc's gonna be good in that job. I think Ty Lue might be okay in this job, but I don't think just swapping in another coach is gonna make that much of a difference. I feel like there's a lot of other issues on this team.
Yeah.
I read like some of his press conference that he did, the transcript after he got hired, and he was like, yeah, I want to learn a lot from Kawhi and Paul George, and I want them to learn a lot from me, and I'm going to lean on them for leadership, and they're going to lean on me for leadership. And I was like, I feel like this is not what you guys need there. This feels like what has been happening. Like, there's no clear leader here, and it didn't work. And so this doesn't feel like a great way to just keep trying the same thing. And also, yeah. It feels like there's just real issues on that team between the players. Like, we just heard, Kawhi and Pat Bev have this feud, and Kawhi was trying to get
Pat Bev out.
He was like, get him out of here.
I need a point guard that can create.
Yeah. I don't think any of them respect Paul George very much. I don't think they like Paul George very much. I don't think Kawhi really, has the locker room super tight.
Yep.
I think he definitely has their respect. But I don't know. It feels like there's a lot of issues there, and they kind of – you're right. They need, an alpha coach to come in.
And I wonder if it was any factor in Ballmer's decision, the owner, where Ty Lue coached LeBron, and they have to get through LeBron to win a championship.
Yeah, maybe.
And, it didn't help Spoelstra that much. You know, actually, maybe it did, because the heat with their team that they had winning two games was pretty impressive. So maybe there is something to coaches that know LeBron really well. But yeah, I'm really excited to see this, because this is a move that I'm not really sure how it's going to work out. But they made the move fast, and the Clippers need to do something, because they have this one more year window with Kawhi and Paul George with the end of their 2-year contracts to either convince them to stay or find other fits. So it'll be a really interesting story to follow.
I'm actually just excited there. Chauncey Billups signed on to be Ty Lue's lead assistant coach.
I'm really
excited to see that.
He'll be a great assistant coach for them. I can't wait to see that. Next one we have, Daryl Morey is out as the GM of the Rockets, Skylar. Huge move. It was reported that he initiated it with the ownership group. So it wasn't a you're fired. But it's kind of been coming since his Hong Kong tweet early in the season, where he lost the NBA $1 billion or more of revenue from China and the Chinese audience. But it is a sad end to the Daryl Morey legacy. Morey Ball, advanced analytics, Sloan Conference, James Harden shooting 35 threes a game. It's the end of an era, Skylar. And as a half Houston Rockets fan, how do you feel about this?
I think you hit the nail on the head. I just feel kind of sad that this didn't work out. It feels like with Houston, every year in the regular season, you could kind of convince yourself that this team might be kind of special. And so to be let down year after year after year, it always just felt like they were kind of one move away or one year away or
one fucking James three-pointer Harden getting, away.
Right. Or James Harden getting one piece of advice away, or going to the strip club one night less. It always just felt like they were one or one more.
One more
who
night.
Knows? Yeah. Who knows? So it feels sad.
It just sucks. This reminds me of the Michael Jordan era for the Bulls, where he stopped so many good teams from advancing and doing well. You think about the Pacers, you think about the Jazz.
Yeah.
I'm biased. I like the Rockets. I've always liked this team. And to lose to the Warriors every fucking year, taking the Warriors to more games than any other team could, except for that LeBron Cavs team, losing because you go 0-27 from three, then you lose to the Lakers, who were the champions this year. Like, they haven't had the playoff success they've wanted, but they've also lost to the best teams every single year.
Yeah.
And it's just brutal. Like, they were right, well, like, just like, a little twist of fate.
They're, like, some of the best teams, like, literally ever, too. Like, it just reminds you how fucking hard it is to win in the NBA today. Yeah. Like, this Rockets team didn't have success because who did they have to go through every year? Like, oh,
probably the best Golden team of all State time.
Team, a LeBron team. Like, yeah, it's insane.
And they had to play the Warriors when KD was healthy. And then KD got hurt, and the Raptors got to face him when KD was out. So, bad breaks. I'm really excited to see what Daryl Morey does next, though, because I think he has a long future in basketball. But it is definitely the end of an era. He's been there a long time.
Yeah. I'll be really interested to see where the Rockets go from here. Yeah. If they stay committed to small ball, what happens?
Or if they keep Harden, who knows?
Or if they keep Harden.
Maybe they can shake it up, especially with their owner apparently deep in debt because all of his rest. I think it's, what, Tillman Fertitta? Is that right?
Yeah.
I hope I got that right.
Good old Tillman Fertitta.
Tillman Fertitta, definitely a top five NBA owner name. We'll see what happens with Daryl. Hopefully he comes on the High Tea Hoops podcast and breaks news of what he's doing next, but we can only hope.
I don't remember the last podcast we had where one of us didn't pitch someone on the pod who is just ridiculous. Like, we'll never come on this pod.
Daryl, if you're listening.
Daryl, if you're out there, come on the pod.
If you know Daryl, tell him we want him to come on. You just got to throw out those positive vibes. All right, next big story. There's whispers around the NBA community, Skylar.
Whispers.
NBA season may start a lot sooner than we thought. And the reason for that, maybe even as early as Christmas, January, they were thinking of pushing it out a little bit, maybe to March or April. But I think from the reports, they're basically said, okay, even if we start in March, we're still not going to be able to have fans, right? So we're still going to lose that revenue. Let's try to start the season as early as possible so we can preserve that 2021-22 season. So not this next season, but the season after that, where hopefully there's a vaccine, hopefully fans are back, and they can have a normal schedule at the start of that season. And then this season, they can do maybe a little bit shorter. They can play around with the schedule. But I think they realized having these summer games and then going against the NFL and going against football really hurt their ratings. I think they were disappointed with the ratings they got. And they don't want to compete with that again. So starting as early as possible lets them get in and out of the season, compress the timeline a little bit, get players in and out, and then they can preserve the comeback season, which will be after next season. What do you think about this move, Skylar?
I think it's really smart to think far enough to preserve the 2021-2022 season. Like, we just see, like, the NFL and college football, I don't know, everyone else.
Yeah.
Just like diving headfirst into seasons, not really looking beyond like the first half of a season, just trying to get some revenue in, like not really thinking long term. So I'm glad they're thinking long term that way. I'm a little concerned about what the season starting that soon means for a lot of things.
Yeah. Like, it's going to be like the NFL.
How are they going to do it safely?
No bubble.
Is it going to be a bubble? Like,
no bubble.
You just can't really keep them, but you just can't really keep them safe if they're not in a bubble. So I'm just concerned.
It's going to be a shit show, just like the NFL is right now, where they constantly have to reschedule, like we're seeing in the Premier League.
And I just don't want to see players get hurt or get sick. I mean, like, we still don't know what the long-term effects of COVID are. Like, I just don't want to see a bunch of them getting sick.
I know.
It's sad. And like older coaches getting sick, like.
Yeah. Ugh. And because maybe they'll restrict it to a few different locations, depending on the types of the different stages of the season. But yeah, you're right. It's going to be a shit show because there won't be a vaccine by Christmas or by January, most likely. So they're just going to move forward and we'll see how it goes. But it seems like there is a big focus to try to start as early as possible and not have a bubble. Jared Dudley even talked about this on the Bill Simmons podcast, where they're like, the players hated it. They'll never do that again. It was too hard mentally. So
yeah,
see what happens there.
I mean, makes sense.
What I think did help them get through the bubble, Skylar, was as a part of that contract, the collective bargaining agreement, or I guess there was like a bubble agreement, is they did not penalize for marijuana intake during the bubble. Probably got a lot of players through, probably increased quality of play from what we saw, and that they might not include it in the new CBA. So players, weed is legal in a lot of different states in America, but they may not penalize players for marijuana intake, which would be big if true.
Big if true. I mean, this is just, I just said it. It's just like another reason why the NBA is the best league. Like, they're just always the first league to get shit right. Like, who, let them smoke weed. Who cares?
Let them do it.
It's legal in a lot of places in the U.S. I'm sure it helps a lot of them with anxiety, with pain from wear and tear on their bodies, pain from injuries.
Anxiety, depression, dealing with mental health issues.
Yeah.
Just let them do it.
Let them do it.
It's not like they're taking steroids.
No.
Speaking of, Skylar, does that add more or less credence to a team coming back to Seattle where weed is very, very legal? More.
I think more.
I think it might help. I think players will want to play in Seattle there's no state income tax. Weed is legal. They won't be penalized for it.
It's beautiful in Seattle.
Beautiful in Seattle. Let's bring it back. On that topic, Skylar, some big news out of the London Looperlonics.
Give it to me.
First of all, this is our hopeful NBA franchise that we're starting in the UK, the London Looperlonics. Skylar, do you have an official position yet?
I do not. I want to think about it a little bit.
Okay, because we have some major signings. We brought on Mo Muncy in the last pod. He is going to be the general manager. So we appointed him as the general manager of the London Looperlonics. We brought in some other pretty impressive staff, I would say. We've got Josh Bett. What did he say? He said he'll sell popcorn, but we're going to bring him in as a commenter. So he'll give us some play-by-plays. Johnny Lamas, hopefully I'm pronouncing that right, Johnny. Thanks for listening. As the team hype man.
Nice.
Pretty amazing. We've got Yanni as DJ, and we've got Archie Domingo coming in as assistant DJ, so he's reporting to Yanni.
Okay.
All right.
So yeah, we gotta have him report to someone.
I mean, he's reporting to Yanni. He's like 15.
Yeah.
So we got that going. and then you'll listen to the interview with Byron after this. He agreed to be our first player coach.
Yeah.
Pretty
big
impressive.
Big signing.
Big Verbal signing commitment. On the podcast. Verbal commitment, which is legal in the UK, from what I understand.
Yeah, binding.
Binding. So pretty impressive.
I feel like I want to be head of player and team. No, just player partnerships and the team stylist. We're going to like create a very unique position just for me. Like I want to help the players with their fits. And I also want to help them get brand partnerships so that they can get better fits and also just get other shit.
All right. You can design your own role. Ginger Shack applied for mascot role. So he's in there, which is great
to see. Do you have a ball boy yet or a ball girl?
No, Daniel Mears applied to be floor cleaner, which we accepted.
Okay. Nice.
So we've got a floor cleaner. A lot of good roles out there. So if you want to apply, just tweet at us. At High T Hoops or at Looperlonics if you want to apply. I've also put in some inquiries. We saw Gareth Bale hit some sweet corner threes. I asked him if he wanted to be our three spotter, shooting guard or small forward. And Jose Mourinho, I also threw that out there. Maybe he wants to come on as coach.
Shoot your shot, Brian.
I'm shooting my shot. Oh, speaking of shooting shots, Skylar, do you have any shots that you'd like to shoot right now?
Harry Styles, if you're listening, come on the High T Hoops pod.
Is that it? That's your pitch?
That's it.
All right.
Men in Blazers got Niles. So I feel like that opens the door. It means that there's hope. We could possibly get Harry Styles someday.
Fair. All right, this is devolving. Let's go to some UK-based news. So the Lakers, in a very Laker move, I need to find this report, Skylar. They wanted to claim that Luol Deng suffered a career-ending injury, even though he played after he left the Lakers, so they could get him off of their salary cap because they're still paying Luol Deng, which is absolutely ridiculous.
And this then, just made me laugh.
I know. The Lakers are just trying to do everything they can to keep building and repeat. Yeah. But this is ridiculous. He did not suffer a career-ending injury. He played the next season. But Bubble Woj, which is the fake Woj account, had an incredible tweet that said, former Lakers guard Luol Deng has requested 2 championship rings, arguing he makes twice as much as Jared Dudley and plays the same amount. Good point.
It's good.
Thoughts on this Lakers move, Skylar, other than it's just a super Lakers move?
It's just a super Lakers move. It made me giggle. They're just out here fucking around.
Yep. So
those were my only thoughts. I mean, is this something we're supposed to like take seriously?
Who knows? NBA, just reject it. Just tweet back and say no.
I feel like they're just going to be like, no, you guys knew this was going to be a no. Goodbye.
It's a no. All right. Last bit of NBA news, which is just some fun news, Skylar, is the plot of Space Jam 2 came out, which is led by LeBron James. Let me read this to you because this is absolutely bananas. It is Space Jam.
Will you put on like a
the background music?
A trailer guy voice.
I will not do that. During a trip to warn. No, I can't do it. I'm not going to try. All right, this is the plot. During a trip to the Warner Bros. Studios, NBA superstar LeBron James and his son accidentally get trapped.
Bronny
is in this. And if they cast Bronny, which they absolutely should, and his son accidentally get trapped within a world that contains all of Warner Bros. Stories and characters under the control of a malfunctioning, all-powerful force named Al G, played by Don Cheadle. A-I-G, Al G, I can't tell if that's an I or an L. With the help of Bugs Bunny, LeBron must navigate through a never-before-imagined world filled with iconic movie scenes and characters as they reassemble the Looney Tunes to rescue his lost son. Now to get back home, LeBron and the Toons have to unravel Al G's mysterious plan and win an epic basketball game against digital gamified super versions of the NBA and WNBA, Skylar, biggest stars as the entire world watches. I cannot wait for this.
It's going to be so good.
Do you think that Warner Bros. Paid the NBA for the Lakers to win the championship to promote Space Jam 2?
No.
Conspiracy theory, Brian?
No.
Okay, fair.
There's been too many conspiracy
no,
theories.
No. All right, let's move on to some British basketball news, Skylar. We've got a whole interview with Byron where we talk about the BBL, Basketball Champions League, Euro Cup. So listen for that, but let's just get some high-level hits. The season is starting October 30th, confirmed by the BBL. So pretty excited. Bam, bam, bam. They will stream all of the BBL games.
Nice.
So we get to watch. That's great. And the Glasgow Rocks can practice inside again. So lovely.
So happy for them.
Gareth.
It's got to be getting really cold there at this point. So. Yeah.
Player coach Gareth Murray was running that squad with outdoor practices because of Scotland's restrictions. So Gareth, I'm sure, is very happy they can actually start practicing again. And then the WBBL starts November 7th with the WBBL Cup. So their fixtures came out as well. So British basketball got support from the government, and they are on track. So looking forward to that.
Yeah.
Are you so excited, Skylar? Are you a London Lions fan?
So excited.
Have you committed?
I haven't committed yet.
Oh, you haven't?
I'm still a free agent.
What do you? What's going to convince you? Is it going to be fits? Is it going to be culture, players, style? What are you looking for?
Yeah, a little bit of everything. You know what I like in a team. You know, right. I like a gritty team. We don't need to. We've already gone over this. Let's keep going.
a team. Yeah, if any of a BBL teams are listening to this, give Skylar a pitch. She needs it at Duchess of Hoops. We also have the NBL going on, Skylar, the Lynch Trophy competition. And just a quick hit, shout out Hemel Storm and the Thames Valley Cavaliers. They're in the quarterfinals.
Shout out.
Shout out. And these are being streamed, so you can actually watch them, which is really fun. And then let's pop over to the WNBA, Skylar. You got a Glossier campaign you want to go over?
A what?
Glossier.
Say it again.
No, Glossier. I'm cutting
it. Did you say Glossier the first time?
Nope, definitely
didn't read it. No, don't cut it out. Don't cut it out.
Definitely didn't just read it with the R. As a Beauchamp, they got a Glossier campaign? Is it Glossier than Glossier?
Glossier. Do you know what Glossier is?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Well, so it's a beauty company.
Yeah.
They sell like skincare and makeup. I'm just saying for any, you know, listeners who don't know, since I know that you are so aware, Brian. Glossier launched a whole campaign with the WNBA. They have 8 WNBA like brand ambassadors, basically. And I just think this is really cool. It's never really made sense to me that the WNBA hasn't had bigger like beauty campaigns. They traditionally haven't had like a ton. I don't want to say that Glossier is the first.
Glossier is the first.
But they definitely haven't had very many and haven't had big ones. And so it's just kind of cool. Like, I watched a full 8-minute video of Sue Bird's routines and like her self-care routine and her skincare routines and how she like does her ponytail for games and how she does like her buns on her off days. And like, it's just like fun. Like, she was talking about, like, I think some people don't really get the connection, but she was like, how I like, if you look good, you play good. And like, if my ponytail isn't right in a game, then I like feel off and I like won't play as well. Like, all of that stuff matters. Yep. Like, you hear about guys getting like superstitious with haircuts or like their shoes. It's like all the same
Deion
thing.
Deion Sanders, look good, feel good, play good.
Yeah, totally. And they're going to be releasing those videos with the 7 other ambassadors, like every so often. Sue Bird was just the first one. And they, like, one of the first promotion videos, one of the athletes was like, you know, we aren't necessarily like the typical standard of beauty and just kind of the industry. And so it's just kind of cool to see that representation. It's cool to see WNBA players kind of get that recognition and, like, you know, be kind of like pampered with skin and makeup stuff. And I think at some points, for women athletes, like, it was kind of not dangerous, but like kind of, I don't know, it was kind of nerve-wracking to kind of lean into femininity, just because it's like, I don't, there's lots of people don't love women, guys. There's lots going on here. And so I think it's just kind of cool to be like, yeah, no, we are athletes and we can be feminine. And also, like, this is our definition of what being feminine is. And that's not necessarily like the standard definition. And I don't know. I just think it's cool to see the way these WNBA players are able to kind of change people's thinking on a lot of different things.
Yeah. Was this the same interview?
That was my full Glossier rant.
Great. I loved it. Was this the same interview where Sue Bird said that women that play basketball are lots of shapes and sizes and looks compared to just the pretty football girls?
That is not the same interview.
Oh, Sue Bird, also, just with flamethrowers. I love it.
That quote got taken really out of context,
yeah,
too. Yeah,
it did. It made the runs through the news cycle. But it was a lots great aggregator grab.
Lots of people wanted to be mad about
it. Yeah. Protect Sue Bird at all costs. All right. Yeah. Let's go into our Byron Mullins interview. What did you think of this interview, Skylar? I really enjoyed it.
It was so fun. Yeah. I felt like we were just 3 lads hanging out.
Shooting the shit. He was very transparent. He was great to talk to. Shared a lot of great stories about playing in the NBA, playing with the London Lions, different personalities on the team. Living
it was really
in London.
Fun to get to know the players on the team through some of his anecdotes.
And it seems like they have really good chemistry already.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's just because they're all locked down and so they're the only people they can see.
Yeah, they're just like talking all day.
Yeah.
There's a part where he kind of reminded me of Jimmy, just because he was like, take any guy on this team, put him on any team, they can score 20 on any night. I was like, I feel like I'm watching Jimmy right now hype up all of his teammates.
Yeah, he was really fun to talk to. A lot of great sound bites in there and different insights that he gave. So stay tuned and listen to that, and we will shift over to that. So enjoy our interview with Byron Mullins of the London Lions. Everyone, welcome back to the High Tea Hoops podcast. This is Brian Beauchet at the Duke of Hoops. We are joined by Skylar, Duchess of Hoop. What's up?
Hello.
Hello. Welcome back to the pod. And we are joined by a very special guest today, former NBA player Byron Mullins, current player for the London Lions. Byron, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
We're excited. And I wanted to start off forming a little truce. So Skylar went to University of Michigan. You were obviously Ohio State. Me coming in from Dartmouth, which we're terrible at all sports, so I have no skin in any game. Let's just do a little truce to start off with. Skylar, Byron, you agree? No ill will?
I guess for the next 20 minutes.
For 20 minutes.
Yeah.
We can settle
just for this pod.
Yeah. Me living in Detroit and just experiencing the Ohio State-Michigan rivalry, I was very new to it.
It is something else to experience, but to live it. I mean, I'm from Columbus, Ohio, so I've lived it my whole life. And it's a different experience for sure.
Yeah. I mean, I think we were the same class. You were 2008, right, is when you started? Yeah. So I was right around that same time. I think you were the number one high school recruit.
I was.
In the country. So I was a little bit behind as a glue guy on my Montana State high school team. same. We were different positions though. So we weren't directly competing.
That's probably why. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Seven footer.
Those were the good old days.
But my first question to start off with is, what was it like playing with Mark the Shark Titus, Club Trillion? He was a legend on our basketball team at Dartmouth just because of the Rainmaker video where he was think I can play. What was it like playing with Mark?
He kept it fun, man. It was in serious situations where, you know, he would just butt in and just make everybody crack up. But obviously Mark started on as a manager at Ohio State a couple years before I got there. And then they got short some guys, and then they brought in Danny Peters and Mark Titus as walk-ons. Mark, I mean, he's a hell of a basketball player, though.
Yeah.
I mean, he played at AU ball with Greg Oden, Mike Conley, Daquan Cook, and those guys in Indiana. And I think people forget about that. And but Mark, man, he's hilarious. You know, I obviously came out of the book, Don't Put Me In, Coach.
Yep.
You know, the Club Trillion and the Club Trillion stat line or whatever. But man, he was. I remember times and when we would play, we would dare Mark to not wear his jersey, you know, underneath his warm up, because as a player, like, you don't know when you're going to go in. Like, we could be blowing a team out, and you're like, you know, holy smokes, I'm about to go in. I don't got my jersey on. So we would do dares or bets like that with Mark, and he would do them, you know, because he's an idiot like that. So, but no, man, Mark he's a great guy.
Yeah, if you don't know, Club Trillion is what it was like. You go in for 1 minute and then zero stats.
Zero stats.
Yeah, so you're a trillionaire because of that 1-0.
Yeah, Mark had it, man. He had to. Unfortunately, when I know in college, he wasn't allowed to make any profit off the Club Trillion website because he was a college athlete. He was an athlete, and they kind of looked at that as like a, you know, booster or money type thing. So, but he, I think he made up for it in the long run after he was done there, but. Yeah, man, Club Trillion is
throwback.
Everybody knows about it. It's all around now. So,
love Mark Titus. But for some real questions, you're a British American. Your mother is from England. Yeah. So, what was your experience like in British culture growing up? Having
really,
one parent?
Honestly, we didn't have any of the British culture. I mean, my mom was born here in Middlesex. My grandfather was in the Air Force, so he was stationed here in Middlesex. She lived she's got four sisters and a brother, and they were all born here. Okay. And they lived here till she was about 8 or 9 years old, and they moved back to the States. They moved to Virginia, and I was born in Ohio. So there wasn't really any history there. I never met my real grandmother. So I think she's actually from here. But I don't have any connection with the family or anything like that. I'd love to somehow, you know, meet up with somebody if they're still here or whatever. But yeah, so that's that in a nutshell.
Yeah.
So if any of Byron's family is listening, his long-lost family, slide in his DMs.
Yeah. Mullins is the maiden name. I took my mom's maiden name. So, yeah, man, if anybody's here.
Reach out. So what drew you to playing in the UK? When did you start getting the idea of like, okay, I'm going to go back. I have nationality.
Yeah.
There.
So it all started back in 2012. Obviously when the Olympics were here and GB was in the Olympics, and they needed some players like me, Ben Gordon, Luol Deng was the big names in the NBA at the time.
Yep.
And I was like, yeah, man, my mom's from there. Like, you know, is there any way, you know, we can get connection there? And we did, and got my passport. And unfortunately, some things fell through in 2012, and I wasn't able to play. Mm-hmm. And then 2016 came up, and I actually had to have ankle surgery from a injury that I had back in 2012 or 2013. So that fell through. And then there was last year that I was supposed to play just for the cup games or whatever they're called, qualifying games. And my team in South Korea was not fond of me, you know, leaving the club and going to play. And they're always that big concern on, well, what if you get hurt? And I'm like, yeah, what if I get hurt staying here and practicing? Because it's a national team break. You know, every team in the whole country has it off. So they just weren't too fond on it. And but, yeah.
Yeah, I saw you talking to Sam Nieter from Hoops Fix and talking about you wanting to play on Team GB moving forward, which I think everyone's really excited for. That was some of the listening questions.
Yeah, because I know when I first started, Chris Finch was the coach because he was in Houston at the time, and I was talking to him, and then it became Joe Prutney, which I have a really good relationship with Joe, and then it moved on to the coach now, and so I've been in contact with him and Jamie Smith as well. And we're just trying to get it to where it lines up with everybody's schedule. And now with the COVID stuff, I know we're supposed to have the qualifying games in November. They're supposed to be played in France, but we don't know. Like, there's supposed to be a bubble. We don't know how the season's going to be, if there's going to be that national team break still. The COVID's just kind of
– everything's up in the air.
It's crazy. So.
Yeah. You mentioned playing abroad. You know, you've played in the NBA. You've played all over the world. We mentioned you have – you know, British heritage. Yeah. Do you find that there's a big culture adjustment with every like new team you go to and every new country you play in, or is it pretty much like the same everywhere? And I will say, we did ask DeAndre this question, so I will be interested to hear yours and we can let you know what he said.
Yeah, there's a big culture difference. I mean, especially when you start playing in like the Asian countries. Obviously, because the language barrier is one thing. Trying to learn everybody's name, you know, you're trying to learn 15 people's name that you can't even pronounce. And you just start making up nicknames for these guys, you know,
on the spot, on the court. You're like, hey, you.
Yeah. I'm like over here. You call them by their jersey number for like the first 2 months. And it's, it's a big difference. I mean, cause you overseas basketball period is tough because you just never know. It's a cutthroat game. A lot of places like China, you just don't know. You can go in and you can score 30 points, but they're not happy with the way you play and you get cut. It's just like that. I mean, pretty much everywhere. I mean, you can go to Spain, you can go to Italy. It doesn't matter where you're at. It's kind of like that. There's no guaranteed deal. So that's one thing. You know, obviously there's a big difference in trying to get to used to, you know, people's food. Because obviously there's, you know, you go to China, it's like, man, you don't know what you're eating.
Trying to keep your nutrition going.
Yeah, so it's like, you know, I went to China, I was on a keto diet, and I'm like, man, you know, you can only eat so many eggs, and it's like, all right, I don't know what to eat now, but there's a lot of things that go into it. You just got to really learn how to adapt to your surroundings. But once you learn how to just, you know, go, keep your head down, do your job, and at the end of the day, the basketball is basketball.
Mm-hmm.
You got to try to – you know, I'm a family man. So like, you know, you're leaving your family and all this stuff. A lot of stuff ties into it. I mean, obviously the time difference from back home, you can't talk to your family as much and stuff. So it's definitely a shock.
Yeah. I saw you on IG Live lifting weights talking to, is it your wife, your significant other?
Yeah, my fiance now.
Fiance, congrats. Yeah. And your baby or a baby.
Yeah. So I got an 8-year-old son. And then we got one on the way. It's due.
Cute.
He's due. Yeah. The first original due date was January 10th. And because he has a big parent, I don't know who he's taking after his mom. He's 3 weeks early right now, so they moved the due date up to December 26th. So
wow,
congrats!
Yeah, that's amazing to hear.
Thank you.
Yeah, just getting your workout in, talking to your fiance.
Try to interact with fans. You know, try to interact with them, and if I'm like in the weight room or something, or if I'm out walking, I'll jump on IG Live.
Yep. Or yoga sessions like this weekend with your teammates. So, yeah, that was hilarious.
That was on Saturday. Yeah, we show up to practice, and we're like, all right, where's the coaches and stuff at? And they're like, oh, we're just going to do shooting and yoga today. And I'm like, what? And they're like, yeah, we're just going to get your shots up, and then we're going to bring a yoga instructor in and just do some yoga. Which, now listen, I don't know if you guys ever done yoga or if anybody's out there doing yoga. I would rather do a full body workout and a 10-mile run than do a yoga session. It's just a completely different type of workout. But no, it was fun just to, you know, change it up a little bit and relax. And but still, I don't like yoga.
I don't know many 7-footers that do.
No.
It's a long way to go.
Yeah.
So what do you find the banter is like? How do you find the banter with your English teammates compared to kind of the American teams you've been on, or even your American teammates on an English team? Do you find that it's different? This is kind of similar to the, the culture shifts.
Yeah, it's pretty much the same. Obviously there's a little bit slight, like little language barrier. Just like the phrase words that they say here in England.
Oh, mm-hmm. DeAndre, like, could not guess a single one in our quiz
with
them.
I've seen the interview, so I'm already studied up on that. But I mean,
you studied words, up in case we sprung it on you.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's, you're like, what the hell does that mean? They're like, oh, this is, and like, oh, okay. So, no, but I mean, basketball is, you know, anywhere you go, you still have the same little pranks and jokes you have with teams. And,
yeah.
The rookie hazing is a lot different overseas, because really, you don't really get a rookie on a team anymore. But
yeah,
but no, this it's still like that, you know, team camaraderie and just, you know, messing with each other, and that's how you build that. So
yeah,
who's the funniest player on the team, on the Lions?
On our team, me and DeAndre like to mess with Andre Lockhart a lot. We just kind of mess around with him, give him a hard time. He gives us a hard time. Joe, the team captain, he's like a more serious but more joking, so you never can really tell.
Yeah,
you know, if he's like joking with you or if he's, you know, but man, everybody pretty much across the board is just pretty much laid back, down to earth, and you know, you can go up to one of them and just kind of, you know, give them a hard time about something, and it's fun.
Yeah, that's good to hear. So going back a little bit, what excited you about joining the Lions in the first place? I know, you know, Vince McCauley, new ownership in with 777 Partners. Yeah. What kind of excited you to come in and play for the Lions?
Well, at first, me and DeAndre played together in Sioux Falls for a couple of years.
Yep.
So obviously when my agent came to me and said that, you know, I mean, anywhere you go, when your agent comes to you and says, hey, this team's interested, the first thing you do is look up the roster, right?
Yep.
And fortunately, with the social media that we have at our hand, you know, fingertips, is you can find out who the roster is, who they've recently signed in 20 seconds. So obviously that was the first thing I did. I seen DeAndre was already here because I think he was here like August 6th or something like that.
Yeah.
So I got on Instagram, messaged him like, hey, man, you know, how's it going? How's practice? How's the coach? Because, you know, you get in some places where you get these Serbian coaches or these crazy coaches, as we say, and it's like, you know, that's really the big key too, because you get some coaches, man, they can take years off your career, and it's just like,
yeah.
So that's the first thing you ask: how's the practices, how's coaches, how's the team? DeAndre just had nothing but great things to say. So that was one thing. Another thing that was playing in effect was obviously the COVID situation. And at that time, nobody was really signing any players. I mean, some players were signing in Japan, but I had a couple friends that signed in Japan, but nobody was going there until November. Mm-hmm. And so you got that aspect, and then you know, obviously, like we talked about earlier, is the culture, right? So it's a lot like the States here, because one, everybody obviously speaks your native tongue. So that had a big effect on it too. And then also my family. So like I said, I got a baby on the way, and this is a perfect place for me to, you know, potentially bring my, you know, my wife and my baby and raise them here. And you just don't get that. I mean, you can go, I'm not going to bring my son to, you know, China, or, you know, I'm not going to bring my son to, you know, Iran or whatever other places that I played. So that was a big thing that went into the decision too.
Yeah. My wife is obsessed with having our kids, our future kids, have English accents and go, mummy.
Yeah. That's what she said. That's, yeah. Like, yeah. We got one of our teammates, Justin. His son, he's cute, man. He has a video on his Instagram of his son kind of like giving an introduction of himself. And I tagged my fiance and I'm like, look at his son, how, you know, how cute he is. And he's just got this nice little accent and just the way he talks and carries himself. He's 5 years old and the kid knows absolutely everything about basketball. I mean, the first day I met him, you know, Justin was like, hey, when was BJ drafted? You know, what draft pick? And he knew everything. That was the first thing she said. I want our baby boy to get the English accent. And I'm like, well, you know, we got to stay here for a couple of years for that to happen.
I'm going to have to check out Justin's kid. I was obsessed with the babies in the bubble. I couldn't get enough of them. It was the best content.
I'm telling you, you got to go to Justin's his Instagram page and look at that video of his of Zion introducing himself and what he likes to do. And it's funny. It'll make you smile for sure.
I'm gonna have to do that later. Yeah. You brought up COVID and the pandemic. What's it been like, you know, training for a season during a pandemic? Like, is it different? Training? Are you kind of approaching it differently because you're thinking, you know, we're gonna have to play without fans, or is it pretty much business as usual?
It's business as usual in some kind of way. At the same time, it sucks because one, you know, our season was supposed to start a month ago. And at the same time, okay, we got a start date of November 1st, but you still don't know. Like, it can still be pushed back again.
Right.
So, I mean, some aspects of it's like, man, you're tired of practicing against each other. So, you know, we're trying to throw in these scrimmages. Obviously, closed doors, no fans allowed in, which also sucks because it's just like another practice. You know, you don't have that energy there. And, you know, that's what we look forward to the whole week is playing against somebody in front of fans, you know, because
– yeah.
It's just that energy that it's that adrenaline that you look forward to. But it sucks. I mean, I was talking to a teammate the other day, and I'm just like, man, you just don't know if they're going to cancel the season, because you think about when the COVID did happen, there was minor cases of it, and seasons was canceled everywhere.
Yep.
Right. Yeah. And then now you look at it, and there's thousands of cases, and season's still going on.
Moving ahead.
So it's like everybody's
football's
like,
still happening.
Yeah. So. But it sucks because it's in the back of your head. It's like, man, they could still, our first game's on the first, but at any minute, they can
post it's just all up in the air.
I mean, there's games going on right now that are in the second division underneath us, I believe. I'm all new to this. So,
and NBL, they're having the Lynch,
Cup. Trophy or whatever. So they're like, hey, this game's postponed because so-and-so got, you know, COVID. And I'm like, last season, and when I was in Spain, that's where I finished up at. They were like, oh, we're not canceling the year until a player gets it. And then two players in Real Madrid got it, and they canceled the season.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, players are getting it now, and it's like, oh, it's not a big deal. Go, you know, the show must go on. So, I don't know, man, but.
A lot's up in the air.
The whole thing is just stressful and depressing, really, because with the new tier levels that they're putting on, you know, England right now where you can go out to pubs and be surrounded by people, but you can't go to your family's house and groups of six or whatever. But it's also funny because when we were traveling to Belgium or whenever we went to like Denmark or something, they smashed 200 people on an airplane and all of a sudden it's okay. There's no social distancing when it comes to that. Yeah. But when you get off, they're like, hey, we're going to exit the plane 20 people at a time.
It's like we've all been sitting together this whole time.
Yeah. I'm like, dude, we've all been breathing and coughing on it, whatever the case might be.
Yeah.
But it's okay because you guys got your money already. You know, it's like, it's such a joke, man. And
it's the conflicting guidelines are so hard. It's like what someone was saying, let's just play a game in a pub, or like let's live stream in a pub together or something, and then the rules fit.
So if I can't meet my family in my house, let's just go out to the restaurant. And I truly believe theaters. I believe that they're trying to do like a separation thing from family or from anything, because I know back in the States when it first hit, I mean, there was people having babies and they couldn't bring anybody in a hospital. And that first 10 minutes of baby's life, that's a very important bonding time. And I think that it's really stripping that away from people. And I think they're, I mean, I don't know. I guess you can call me a conspiracy theorist, but I think it's more than, you know, it's the deal of the handshakes are no more now because people are afraid to, you know, meet and touch each other. And it's just, I know that's such a small thing, but in the big picture of things, it's huge.
It's hard to balance the health with the economic, because it's been, what, 7 months now, 8 months? And like the BBL, like to survive and have, you know, they need to play. So how do you balance the survival of the league versus the health, which, you know, we don't have to go into COVID too far, but it's just, it's a tough situation all around. And even for like, so for your basketball Champions League appearance against Neptunus, that was no fans, right? What was it like playing in that game?
It was brutal, man.
Cause that's like a huge game in the history of
the league here. So it's like, there's a couple teams here that, you know, can't afford to not have fans, you know? And at the same time, like this, the players on these teams that can't afford that, like this is their career, you know, this is how they make money to feed their families. And, you know, they can't sit around and wait for an answer. They, you know, they either got to do it or they got to go, you know, find a job. But anyway, on the Neptunus game, man, it was crazy. So we all get there to the hotel and it was more than us. So they were also finishing the games from last year too, I believe.
But it's weird.
We had all these teams.
They had the finals, right? And I was like,
whoa. So you have all these teams in a hotel, which every time you go around, you obviously got to wear the mask. And every time you come in and out of the hotel from practice or the games, the first thing you see is a woman right there, you know, taking her temperature before you even come in the hotel. It's like, oh yeah, I just got COVID just by leaving for 2 hours, you know, whatever. And then obviously, you know, you're at the games and there's no fans and there's, it's just no energy in the stadium.
There's a car on the baseline. That was funny.
Yeah, there's a car on the baseline. And it was funny because, and so everybody had to sign off on a contract, right, before we went there. And it was like, hey, if we see you walking around the hotel with no face mask, you're getting a fine. And it was funny because one of the things on there was like, keep social distancing as much as possible. And like one of them had said, like, even during the games, obviously stay away from shaking the other team's hands and try to social distance as much as possible during the game. And I'm like, what the hell? Are we supposed to just like stay 6 feet away from somebody taking a jumper?
Pace and space.
If it's coming down to this point, don't even have the games. And it was funny because the other day we were in a scrimmage and I was talking to the referee about a call that was made. And I was standing in the key and he comes running up to me and he's trying to talk to me. And at the last second, he kind of caught himself, you know, like trying to get too close to me. He's like, whoa, 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 social distance. And I'm like, well, dude, you came up to me. Like, I didn't come to you.
God, this is so hard.
Yeah, so it's like, if it's to that point where people are freaking out, is that much, you know, don't even play. And it's, I don't know.
You got to commit to it. It's such a tough situation. That could be.
It's like, you know, obviously we can't come out here and play with masks on. And it's just, it's all crazy, man.
It's got to be so hard on the court. Maybe it's just Coach Vince telling you got to space out a little bit more. You know, don't clog the lane. Don't clog the lane.
That's right.
So. Just a coaching tactic. All right, moving on to you know, the FIBA Europe Cup. Obviously, it was a very tough defeat watching against Neptunus. You guys were right there. But you still get to represent London in the FIBA Europe Cup. So what do you think it means for this club, for you to have some success there? I think it's supposed to start in January, right?
So as of right now, you know, it was supposed to start in October, right after the BCL. You know, unfortunately, we weren't able to make that. As of right now, we're here in January 6th is when it's supposed to start. It's big. I mean, not as big for the country, obviously, and for, you know, these new investors showing the investment that they're giving, putting in this team and bringing the team that we have together. You look at the guys on this team, and if you don't get excited by that and what we're going to be able to hopefully do for UK basketball, man, it's exciting.
yeah, we're excited to see. I think that was, it was people like, oh, it's a consolation, but it's having success in Europe and showing that you can play on that level.
You know, we got to obviously win that because the BCL is the main goal, what we want. So if we win the FIBA Cup, we automatically get that bid into BCL. If we don't, then we got to do the whole BCL thing again the following season. So
yeah, it was really too bad that it was just one and done instead of having to play it in the copper box in London and then play one at Neptunus. Yeah. That would have been so fun. But the single elimination is so hard.
Man, I think if you give us some more time, you know, if we did that now, we would run away with that. You know, obviously when you put a team like us together, it's going to take us a while to gel. And I've said this before, you can take any guy on this team and put them on a team by themselves and they're averaging 20 points easy.
Yeah.
And when you put a team like that, it's, you really got to learn how to, you know, spread the floor. You got to go, you know, you might have a good shot, but you might, one pass away might be a great shot. And we're getting that, you know, we're gelling that and getting that down. Unfortunately, we haven't been able to play as much as we want to play with the whole COVID stuff, but we got another scrimmage on Friday. And then our season is supposed to start with a cup on the 1st, I think, next Sunday. So, man, we're excited. I mean, obviously, we're excited just to start playing. And finally, like I said, it's depressing, man. It's, you're sitting here practicing for – in endlessly. Your head, like you're sitting here practicing for nothing, you know. It's, you don't know when the season's going to start. And it all takes a toll.
Definitely.
Yeah.
So switching to your NBA career, you know, you've played with some of the best players in the world, KD, Westbrook, Harden, Chris Paul, Blake Griffin. What kind of lessons have you taken from them and applied to your leadership style in your game?
Man, to sum it all up, and one quick one is just probably just being a pro's pro, taking care of your body, doing the right stuff you got to do off the court, you know, showing up to, you know, lifting if that's the case, getting the extra conditioning in,
yoga.
I was on teams, you know, I started my career in Oklahoma City, and my first lesson I've learned is when they say, you know, day off, that doesn't mean there's a day off, because we played a game and the coach came in, all right guys, tomorrow we're gonna have off, I'll see you, I don't know what it was, say it was a Saturday that we had off, and he's like, I'll see you on Sunday. I'm a rookie, right? So I'm like, yeah, I'm going to enjoy my day off. I didn't show up. I came in Sunday, and everybody's like, dude, where were you at yesterday? I'm like, man, like, you guys said we had a day off. They're like, no. Like, you still come in here, get shots up, get a lift. You know, everybody was here but you. And I'm like, holy shit. Oh, like, okay. Man. Like, well, now I know, right? So I go from there, and then I go to Charlotte. And they're like, hey, day off tomorrow, guys. And in the back of my head, I was like, no, you know, I'm not falling for this again. And I show up the next day, lights were off, no coaches were around, no trainers were there. And I'm just like, what a difference from, you know, world class. And I'm not saying Charlotte's not that like that now. I think they've done some big changes. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Mike went from, he was part owner at the time when I was there, to now he's a full owner.
Yep.
But it was just a big change from Charlotte to Oklahoma City. And
yeah, what a difference.
Yeah, and I'm like, I literally went there and I had to turn the lights on. And I'm like, I'm just going to get shots. I'm already here. But and then I go from there, then I go to L.A. where we had training camp, and that was about it. We, you know, Doc was a veteran coach. We had veteran players. And that's where you really learn how to be a pro's pro, because we really didn't practice that much. But – It was on you to get your job done, you know, to get in the weight room, to get in there and get with the assistant coaches, because they were there, you know, because they had the rooms and they looked down on the court. So if they seen someone there, they'd come down and you get the work in. But it's just a big difference on what organization you're playing in. You can kind of take those lessons from each club.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's why that's all I do is, you see me on Instagram, like I'm at the gym, or I'm up at 5 a.m. running on Tower Bridge.
Yeah.
I'm just always trying to do something, you know, and it's like this whole thing with, not to touch on the COVID stuff again, but you just gotta keep your mind busy and stay busy, you know, or else you're just going to go crazy.
Yeah. It's an interest, like the young OKC team, putting in the work, hungry, trying to practice together versus the veteran team on the Clippers.
You're talking about a team that we just did 2 hours of practice, and you still, after practice, you see guys like KD, James, Russ, they're still playing one-on-one for another hour, you know, from the elbow and the top of the key. Like, holy smokes, dudes, like, go home, guys. You know, But yeah, man, you see that. I mean, we had a very young, talented team. I wish that team could have stayed together. You know, the damage that they would have done in the future, but obviously money situation. And at that time, salary cap was, you know, went from $55 to $60 million to whatever it is now, $120, $130. Yep. And that was the situation there. They didn't know who to keep. Was it James Harden or was it Serge Ibaka? And right. At that time, it's easy to look back and say you guys did the wrong move or whatever, but they just, at the end of the day, they didn't have the money to keep that whole club together. Now, yeah, they did right by James by letting him go to Houston, and mm-hmm. you know, but you know, Sam Presti's a world class guy, yeah. and I got nothing but love for him. And he's a guy that, you know, was in, I believe it was in San Antonio, started mm-hmm. out, and then he's like one of the youngest
the Popovich guys. So,
yeah,
you were almost a supersonic, so close. First year from God. What we talked about before, but. Like we talked about before, London Luperlonics are my fictitious NBA team in London. Maybe we'll get you at the end of your career. Maybe hey, full circle in London.
Let's start it. We can be investors in it. We can start our own club.
Expansion,
you know?
Expansion team, the London Luperlonics. Yeah. All right, we're signing you as our first player. Once you leave the lights,
that was a verbal commitment.
Verbal commitment.
Need a player coach, though.
Yes, first player.
We got him. Did Blake Griffin ever test any of his jokes on you? Any of his stand-up routine? Oh my routine? God,
Blake Griffin has the driest humor, but it is hilarious. Like he was.
I love Blake Griffin.
Oh my God, he was one of the funniest players I've ever played with because he's like he would say a joke and he would just keep a straightest face, like, and he would watch you, like,
waiting for you to react. Laughing.
Yeah. And Blake was the coolest dude, man. He was cool. I love Blake.
It's too bad that he has fallen to Skylar's Pistons here and just been relegated to the dungeon
so
team.
All right, that's enough.
Sorry, Skylar. Skylar's a big Pistons fan, so sorry, Blake. I've been to a lot of those games. That's a tough place to go play.
Yeah, it is. Especially in the winter, right? In freaking Detroit,
Sorry, Skylar. Gotta get it.
Still better than
in.
Columbus.
Oh,
it's still better than Columbus.
We drew a truce. We had a truce, Skylar.
Listen, the truce didn't extend to the cities. It was just the schools.
Okay, fair.
I don't know about that.
I'll allow it as
okay, speaking of great cities, what have you enjoyed most about being in London so far? I know you've been in lockdown. Have you been able to, you know, get out, experience pubs, experience some restaurants, do some fun stuff?
Yeah, so the first couple days I was here, they told me, like, traffic is absolutely insane here. So it would take you an hour to go like 5 miles. And I'm like, all right, so let me look up how close we are to, you know, like Buckingham Palace and Big Ben and all that stuff. And mm-hmm. it's like 3 miles down the road. And I'm like, mm-hmm. all right, let me see if I get an Uber to take me an hour. I'm like, nah, I'm just gonna go walk, right? So, because on the way there, you know, you go at the Tower Bridge and, you know, Tower of London and all that stuff. So I'm like, all right, so on the way there, I'm gonna see all this stuff I wanna see. You know, you see that, you see the London Eye, you see the churches, Elizabeth Tower, obviously Big Ben, and then you walk a little bit farther down, you see Buckingham Palace and Wellington Arch and all the parks and stuff. And it's like, man, so I got all my pictures in I wanted to get, and it's just awesome because it's like you just got this history feel, you know, it's just mm-hmm. like you kind of feel it, you know. I don't know, it's just something you can't really explain how it is.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, you're surrounded by like very old stuff that has a story to tell. And there's not a lot of places like that. You know, Spain was like that when I was in Spain. I was in Madrid for just a couple weeks, and the place I was staying at was just around the corner from where they fight the bulls. Mm-hmm. And so I went down there, and it's like, man, this place was built in, I think it was like 1909 or 1912, something crazy. And it's like the architect that went into this so long ago that this thing is still standing today is just unbelievable. Like I came back home and I started watching the Netflix show The Crown, and like you start learning the history of that. And then I started looking up like how old the Buckingham Palace is and like all these other places. And I'm like, man, they're over 300, 400. Some of them is like over 700, 800 years old. And I'm like, holy smokes, man. But that's something that, you know, pictures don't do it justice, and it's just something that you got to take in and just enjoy in the moment. So,
a little different than the Midwest.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Like, you might go, you know, the horseshoe is one thing, but when you're standing there and looking at the Buckingham Palace or something, it's just like, it's totally something different, man. You can't really explain it, but.
Yep.
I remember it blew my mind the first time I went to London, like just how much older things are. I remember that blowing my mind too, just because everything here is, everything in the US is like, there's only basically so old it can be. If it's from Americans, not from indigenous peoples. Yeah. And everything there, it can just, it's like not unlimited, but it just goes so much farther back than ours. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah, it's insane. And we're close to the Tower of London. You go there and you got all the signs on the front and tells you like the history of, you know, the kings and queens and, you know, who was here. And it's crazy. You kind of like sit there and just, you know, take it in and just kind of picture it being back in that time. And, you know, who, you know, how was this stuff even built with stuff, you know, how they build this stuff without the tools that we have today. And it's, the architect, like I said, it's crazy.
Yeah. Did you get a chance to get down to any of the amazing shopping in London? 'Cause I asked DeAndre if he was, planning on, coming in any fire walk-in fits, and he told us we could expect some.
Absolutely, he's been bringing it.
He comes like that to practice every day. He's got something
swagged out.
I want to know how many bags he packed when he came
here. I think he's been shopping there.
Oh yeah,
he told us he was going to shop there.
Probably, he's been on Regent Street. He's going all around.
I haven't seen DeAndre wear the same thing twice. It's like me, you know, I got 3 or 4 sweaters and they all got, you know, the London logo. And it's like, I don't care. You know, I got, my time is very well spent on something else than figuring out what I'm going to wear, you know, the next day. So, no, DeAndre's definitely got the swag and he's going to be having all the outfits. And
okay.
Yeah, Skylar's going to do BBL fits. We got to start it, Skylar.
You have to, because he'll be the top one on there. I'll just be coming in with sweats and a sweater maybe or something.
The Jokic strategy.
Exactly.
So to close this out, Byron, thanks for coming on. Last question. Any words for London Lions fans going into this season? What do you want to leave the fans with?
Just stay patient, man. I know it's tough with the whole COVID situation and, you know, we hoped that, you know, and we still hope that we can have fans one day. We know that, like we talked about before, it can be depressing. And, you know, basketball or any sports event where fans show up is kind of like their getaway from the outside, you know, to get out the outside world and enjoy an event, enjoy it with their family. My thing is just to, you know, if you can, still stay tuned, watch us on TV. Like I said before in other interviews, you know, we see the posts on Instagram that people make and tag us, and, you know, you can communicate with us. Don't worry about, you know, if we're going to respond to your DM or not. I'm always responding to everybody on Instagram. Mm-hmm. So if you want to message me, ask me any questions or whatever, do it. I'm open to that. But hopefully we can start playing in front of you guys again. One day. I don't know when, but. Yeah, stay with us and stay supporting us.
Thanks, Byron. We appreciate it.
Yeah.
Thanks, Byron.
Thank you.